Okay, we're gonna get back in if you can crunch while we're learning. Oh, that's okay. It doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. That one time he. Okay. So why praise God? So what happens when you've had this tremendous victory? Your faith is high. Have you ever had that? You know, God came through for me, and your faith is up here, and you just want to what?
Praise Him.
But you want to tell somebody. You want to. I want to tell everybody how. I mean, when. What was it? My goodness, I forget now. But just a couple weeks ago, something happened, and I said, I went and called every one of my kids, because I want them to know the faithfulness of God, and we're to make sure our kids know, even when they're not still living in your house. So, because what happens is, this stuff builds up inside of you. When you're putting word in and you're praising God, it's building, building, building like a tea kettle. When it hits full steam, it whistles. But we go off. I never forget when we were living in the house up the street. My friend came in, and he was always coming up to share something that God showed him. And he came in, and I just went off on him. I mean, I was so full. I had so much inside of me, and he stood there for like 10 minutes, and then he goes, wow, you know, but it had to go somewhere. It had to go into somebody because I was just so full. So if we keep putting this word that we're learning here, that we're learning, this faith, this victory, this authority, then we get full to overflowing, and it's going to overflow. It's going to overflow in praise and worship. It's going to overflow when you're talking to your coworker and they need a miracle from God. It's going to overflow, and you'll know when you're full because it's coming out your mouth.
But sometimes it's the opposite.
You're full and it doesn't come out your mouth?
No.
Oh,
you're full,
I'm sorry.
And you are offending people. They're not receiving it.
Well,
something I had to learn.
You'll find someone else to listen.
Well, remember, he said, just shake the dust off, because some people don't know what to do with that.
Well, they're religious,
or they're critical, and they're like,
yeah,
you're off the deep end now. You're just.
Yeah, that's right. I will give you a wide berth.
That's right, because you're a little too.
You're too radical.
So let's go back to Psalm 34. 1-3, and where it says, I will bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If you're snappy, and when I say snappy, I mean you snap at somebody, you know,
touchy,
yeah, and you're fleshy, then you're not full. It's a good indicator, you know, that light comes on and says you need oil in your car. Well, it's a good indicator if you're snapping at people and you're just fleshing out on them that you need a little more of Jesus. So the great thing is that you don't have to feel it to start praising. So why should we praise Him? Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Five. It says, then from the throne there came a voice saying, praise our God, all ye servants of His, you who reverence Him, both small and great. So we're to reverence Him. We are to praise our God because He is. Because He is. And He tells us to. He's saying, praise our God. The voice from the throne said, praise. So we're being told to. As parents, a lot of times we tell our children to do things, and we don't always give them a reason, for various reasons, but I mean, sometimes they just don't have one. We just say, just do this. And then that's when the kid says, why? And then you say, because I said so. But I'm saying, God wants us, and I still remember the skit, I forget his name now. Anyway, he came to our church in New York, and he was all dressed in camo, and he came out, and he said, when God tells you to do something, do it right away. And the reason being, when you're in the army, and that's what they train you in the military, you're taught to obey on command, not, well, I need a good reason for that, or when you show me why I have to do this, then I will do this.
And that would be the end of you.
That's right. And so
you're in the army. Yes.
And so in God's army, we need to do things when he sees the big picture. We don't. But here he's telling us to praise God, all ye servants of his. Psalm 150, we're going to see, this is the portion of why we're praising God, because he told us to. And there's many, many references to this. I'm not even going to try and hit them all, because there's too many. But in Psalm 150, verse 6, of course, you guys all know this, let everything that has breath and every breath of life praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So the first reason that we praise the Lord is because he told us to do it. So we're doing this by faith, just like the rest of our walk. Don't be the little kid that's insisting on walking by sight. I'll do it when I see the answer to what I'm praying for. I won't praise him until then. So we can't require that we understand first. Well, we could require that, but then we'd be a rebellious little brat. And so, in other words, say you wanted to go to a specific college, and they either turned you down or you haven't heard back yet. Well, then you have the opportunity to either thank God that he heard your prayer, or you have the opportunity, well, I'm not going to praise him until I know he answered my prayer. And so we're to praise God because he told us to, not because you saw a manifested answer to prayer. That's not how it works. It's not going by sight. So
and it's not going by incident per incident.
Right, yeah. Right. Because the bottom line is God has our back. And if we're obedient to him and we're praying out his will, then he's got our back and he's going to watch over us and things are going to happen. Now, what if you got turned down? Then you have another opportunity to either... Now, you're not... And here's the line. Some people say, praise God for everything, and some people say praise God in everything. There is a difference. We're not praising God for sickness. It's not from him. Why would you praise God for something the devil gave you? But you're praising him in it because he is always to be praised and because he has the way out of this. He loves us. So we got to be careful of that, and we learn to do things because he said to do it. It's the key to miracles. I have had so many times that it didn't look like that was the way, like it looked like it was, it looked like he had not answered my prayer. But remember what Mary, Mother Mary, said to the guys? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. She had insight there. So even sometimes when it looks like the fight is over, I have said I don't know how many times, and I'm not calling God the fat lady, but it ain't over till the fat lady sings, you know? I have said that so many times because someone would say, well, he didn't answer your prayer. And I would look at them and I'd say, looks like he didn't answer my prayer. God's faithful. And by hanging in there and saying that and believing that, he did come through. Maybe not in the time that I thought he should come through, but he always came through. He is not the fat lady. I don't mean that in any disrespectful way, but it's just a term you use when you say it ain't over yet.
It's not over till it's over.
That's right, because God's not done. So,
but a lot of people don't understand that they have to stand.
Yeah, because sometimes they think, well, I did stand, and now the answer's in and it's done. Like my son the other day, I'll use him as an example. He'll be okay because he'll never hear this. But no, he was at court because his ex-wife wanted to move out of the town into another school district. He just moved back into the school district so he could have the kids get off the bus and so that he could see them some more because he loves his kids. And that would make it easier, you know, so he could have them overnight sometimes. Well, within a month of that happening, she announced that she was going to move into the neighboring town, which is another school district and further away from him. And so I was in the office at the back of the courtroom with him, and after the lawyer went out, she's okay for a lawyer, but the thing is, they encourage you to be vengeful and spiteful. It's like you have to do it to get what you want. And I looked at him and I said, you tell the truth and you don't have a vindictive heart. If you do that, God will bless it. Because and he's the same one that thought God could not help him, that he couldn't pray about it because he thought that he blew it when he made this whole big mistake. And I said, thank God it's not that way or we'd all be up a creek. Mm-hmm. You can't get that condemnation on yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I had to leave because I had real estate class that night, but I stayed till for part of it. But I didn't hear the outcome. Well, then when I talked to him, he goes, the judge said that she could move. And I said, don't let this get you down. Because there are several things here. First of all, God can still move through this. Second of all, there's a long way between here and the end of school, which is when she was planning on moving, because she didn't want to move him out before school. You can't assume something's over because it looks like your prayer wasn't answered. If you truly believe that you prayed the way that God would have you to pray, then you stick on it and get your verse, and you praise God that he is still at work. It may not be, and I said to him, I know that this looks like not a victory, but if you hold on, God has your back. It may not be the exact way you thought it would be, but he's got your back, and he'll have the answer for you. And I still remember Reese Howell, intercessor over in England. His son never even lived with him for most of his life because he was so into intercessing and needed to be for the whole World War II thing. God had him there for that purpose. But instead of driving his son away, which it would do for a lot of families because the kid would say, my father never had time for me, I'm not going to have time for him. Instead of that happening, because of his faithfulness, God brought him into his ministry and he was serving him when he became an adult. So God took care of that. You cannot, if you give up, it's over. It's over. Your faith has just crumbled. And so God can't move when you cave in. So
how do you know when you've caved in? When you're waiting and waiting and waiting.
Well, there's a hopelessness. There's no expectancy anymore.
Okay, that's when you've given up.
There's no expectancy. And you're like, well, I guess that's not how mm-hmm. it's going to happen.
So in your son's case, maybe he can have faith for a certain period of time until the end of school.
He can do that, or he can just trust. And that's the big general picture is God has this thing. God, this does not surprise him. He knew this whole thing was going to happen. He knew how it was going to work. And so the very fact that he's going to God and wanting him to intervene on his behalf, it spells volumes to me, but I know that God is pleased with that. So I am not worried in any way, shape, or form that he's going to get gypped out of some of his time with his kids because God's going to take care of that. Oh. So we tend to put boundaries on God, like, and say it has to happen this way, and I has to, you know, but I have gotten to the point where God, in this case, I bow my knee to your will. I know that you want him to have this time with his kids. He wants to be a good dad, and I trust his judgment. God knows best, you know. And it's not we need to be specific with our faith, but there comes that prayer of consecration where you just say, Father, you know, I give this to you. I mean, there's other things I'm very specific with.
I went to see Susan Callahan when she was in, you know, uh-huh. I'm over there, so it's easy, but she, you know, she's so thin, but she just seemed to have a good spirit, and
yes,
her eyes
were
lit up, and yep. She was easy to visit. I guess I wonder, that would be tough. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, like, I guess me think looking at that, I think, wow, that would really be tough. And she told me her symptoms, and she said, oh, yeah, she said, my right side is kind of numb, but that's because of the bone cancer. She said it very matter-of-factly, mm-hmm. You know, just...
She's trying not to allow it mm-hmm. take over her life.
Right, and you can tell that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she has a hope mm-hmm. that God is her healer, and if you talk to her long enough, that's what you're going to hear. Mm-hmm. And
he's done it for her before.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I know, you know, we're all wanting that for her. We all know that God is the healer. Mm-hmm. And I think she feels that too, that we're all pulling mm-hmm. with her. It doesn't look, that's the thing, mm-hmm. you know.
If we would go by natural things, right. We'd think, oh,
well, that's the whole point.
That's it.
We have
but
to
it's
learn.
Not. We have the faith of God. We know that God is He's wanting not, her to be well.
It's not over till a fat lady.
She has that faith. How could you not share in that and have it for her too?
Well, some people would look at her and call her foolish.
Yeah.
But we are her family, mm-hmm. and we know where she's coming from. Mm-hmm. And I won't say that it's never that it's always easy, because when you're in that situation, you got thoughts bombarding you. But thank God she has family, and when I say family, I'm including us, that will speak into her life.
And she's always had peace.
What does she know about her authority?
Well, she...
That's what I wonder. What does she know?
She, when she was a secretary here, she did come to a few of my Bible studies in the morning, so I know she knows about long life. And I don't know
with
if
long life I will satisfy you.
Live long.
But it's the authority, though, that you need.
The authority, yeah.
And when she comes up to get prayer on Sunday mornings, like the couple times she did, up on the platform, you can hear her, and just the way she talks to the pastor for the prayer, I'm telling you, she knows.
Well, she's a fighter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we need to be a fighter, too, because a lot of people just give up, and they are like, mm-hmm. it's going to happen, you know, it's going to happen. So I'm all for, you know, being strong and a fighter, but your trust is in God, mm-hmm. and that's what she does, yeah. So
we all have to learn to look beyond the natural circumstances.
Yeah.
And that's a lifetime of learning.
Yep.
And if your son had a previous experience that he could stand on, that would make it easier. But maybe this is the time now when he's going to stand and he's going
stay.
To receive.
Yes, and he's going to stay there. Because I think what happens to a lot of people is they come to God. God helps them, and then just slowly they just kind of drift away. But this is not going to happen this time, because I know what God's plan is for him, and he is going to be a strong born-again Christian. So, Psalm, the second reason why we praise him is he's worthy. He deserves it. He's worth praising. And I say this, in our modern day, we praise a lot of things, including movies and movie reviews and stuff. But we're talking about Almighty God here. And so, let's say you have a friend that uses the word amazing 100 times a day. So if she told you...
I purposely try to not... because it is so over...
It's that or awesome.
Awesome.
Yep. So if someone said to Dylan, your dress was amazing.
How about stunning?
And then they used that same word amazing to describe the sludge in the sink, you know. How special would you feel with that amazing?
Make me feel dirty.
There's nothing special attached to that. And so if you use that word like that, then it's not special at all.
That whole analogy just scared me.
But I couldn't help it. When I was going to use the dress, I just had to gravitate to him.
We have reduced the meaning of language down to simple terms like this is good and this is not good. Amazing, awesome. All those words really translate into very good.
Yep.
Or
the Aussies say
good.
Brilliant. 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 So not everything is worthy to be praised. The sludge in the sink is not. worthy to be praised. So the devil is not worthy to be praised. But here again, this is important. Not only the devil, neither is his sickness, neither is his lack, anything that comes from him. And we may not call it praising or giving place to, but every time that we exalt that, my checkbook ran out before the end of the month, you know, or this sickness is really getting to me, you know. Anytime we exalt that above God, we are actually exalting. It's like we're exalting the devil because it's his junk that we're exalting. And so God is worthy, as is his healing power that comes from him, as is his peace that comes from him, as is his prosperity that comes, his provision. So go to Psalm 107. And if he is indeed your rock and your salvation, as the word says, then we ought to praise him. If you hate or you're very non-committal about squash, now my husband doesn't really like squash, he's not going to praise it. he just doesn't care for it. The only way he cares for it is in squash bread, zucchini bread. But however, if someone were to make you a 5-star dinner of all the foods that you like, you would probably praise that because they went to all that trouble, you know. So there are some things that are worth praising, and God is one of them. So in Psalm 107, hear the heart of God as he's talking concerning us and our praise or lack of praise. We praise him, like I said, we breathe. We praise him for creating us, for sustaining us, because it takes not just being able to breathe. The very word that he spoke, let light be, all those words he spoke in Genesis, that's all sustaining the world that we live in to this day. And so, who controls the seasons? Who controls the seas? He does. Even the devil with his curse on the earth, God is still greater. And so, he is worthy of our praise. So we need to acknowledge that and the strength that he gives us every day. He's worth praising. So in Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered from the hand of the adversary." This is not just something we say before praise and worship to get people to worship. If we're redeemed, we've got something to say. We've got something precious the world needs. And so that's why he's saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered from the hand of the adversary. So we're to pray, tell it. That's why we have praise reports. That's where the deliverance comes. It's not luck. A lot of people will say, well, you lucked out. And it's not luck. It's the blessing of the Lord. It's the goodness of the Lord. It's the favor of the Lord. Then if you look in verse 3, "And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the Red Sea in the south. Some wandered in the wilderness in a solitary desert tract." He's setting the stage here. He's showing you the faithfulness of God as they came through the wilderness. "They found no city for habitation. Hungry and thirsty, they fainted. Their lives were near to being extinguished. Then they cried." Now you'll see this like three or four times in this whole chapter. "Then they cried to the Lord, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the straight and right way, so that they might go to a city where they could establish their homes." So he didn't just take them somewhere else in the wilderness. He's helping them to get where they need to go so they could establish their homes. "Oh, that," and this is one of the times, you see where it says, "They cried to the Lord, and he delivered them." And then you see that God's saying, "Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and his loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men." Listen to how he puts that. "Oh, that men would." It sounds like they're not. It sounds like God delivered them and they didn't. And how many times have we been guilty? We might say, "Oh, thank you, God." And we forget all about it. but God was so good to us, you know? So we need to make sure that we're not one of those. In verse 9, then he says, he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in afflictions and irons, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he bowed down their hearts with hard labor, and they stumbled and fell down, and there was none to help. Then, here it is again, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke apart the bonds that held them. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. So they're calling on the Lord. They're expecting help. And they are citing all the reasons for his goodness and why he should be praised. So we need to watch ourselves. We need to give praise where praise is due. Not be so, you know, doling out just a little bit. What are we doing that for? He's Almighty God, who is the giver, the big giver. And so sometimes we give ourselves credit and we'll say, oh, well, that worked out pretty well for me. I thought of that. Well, who thought of that? Who gave you that idea? You know, we need to make sure that we're not taking credit. Some people worry about that, because I know when my kids were in junior high school, their one guidance counselor was like, the kids in junior high school have enough problems with their self-esteem. You know, Christianity pushes that down, and I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? You know, I'm like, how is that? And but I can see from the world, and she goes, well, I'm a Christian too, but I don't believe this is the way to minister to junior high school students. She was saying that by putting it all on God, and that God is the creator and he is the Almighty God, and that I am nothing in myself, is telling them they're nothing. And I understand what she was looking at, but as a believer, she's telling me she's a believer. I don't understand her theory there.
She's a believer, but she doesn't know what she believes.
No.
She doesn't know who she is.
Without him, we got nothing. I mean, we would be up a creek. And so, you know, don't give yourselves credit. Who gave it to you? Call on him. He will deliver you. He's always with us. Remember what I said about he's always with us, but that's not the end. Don't be deceived into thinking that, well, he'll be with me through this sickness. Yes, he will be with you. He said he'd never leave you, but he also wants to deliver you. So we're going to go over to Psalm 91, which is the protection psalm. I think Lynn likes this chapter too. She's got it marked. Psalm 91.
Oh my gosh. Oh, look at that.
That's okay. Mine's yellowed.
Well, Kenneth Hagin says if you can't mark up your Bible, throw it away.
That's right. It's your own.
Can. Yep. I heard somebody else just say that.
So in verse 14, this is God talking. And he says, because he set his love upon me, therefore I might deliver him. No. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he knows and understands my name, he has a personal knowledge of my mercy and my love and my kindness. He trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, never. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So this is God talking, and he says, with long life I will satisfy him. And you have to grasp that and say, I believe that. That's mine. That's mine. Therefore will I deliver him. Not, and you hear this in the church sometimes, you hear, well, maybe. God says maybe sometimes, you know, and so maybe he didn't want to do it now, or maybe, you know, depending on his mood. No, he said, I will deliver him because he has set his love upon me. So when I get into a problem, I cry out to God, he'll deliver me. We will come through it if we stand on his word, believe in him, and don't quit. Glory to God. give the glory to God. Don't quit. That is the biggest thing. And like I said, sometimes we count it over when it's not over, and we quit just before the breakthrough. And you don't want to do that. How would you, if you could see the timeline, and if we could see into the spirit realm, and we can sometimes, but if we could see and see what God's got set up, I think we would see so many times that we stop short of what He has because we thought it was over. And we've got to stand on His word.
A really quick testimony.
No, go ahead.
It happened last week. I didn't even get a chance to tell anybody.
tell it.
Dad and I were working. We were getting ready to go up Whitetail Mountain in the snow, so it's very steep. It's a lot of work. And on the way down, I was starting to feel like flu symptoms coming on. Like, I was starting to feel like sick in the stomach, and I was back headachey and really tired and drained. And you just feel it coming on.
And we all know how Alan was.
And I had no touch of it. And I distinctly heard God say, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" And I was like, "Oh."
Do?
That's right. No. What am I going to do about it? So I was like, "Well, I know what I'm supposed to do about it." So I started to, think of the word and how we're supposed to be healed, started to claim that. Well, because I didn't feel anything immediately after, praying and thinking of those things for a little bit, you automatically go, "Well, it didn't work." Your mind just tends to go in the direction of, "Well, what if I get up the mountain and I start to feel really sick and da da da?" And your mind just starts jumping to the conclusions. I had just listened to a message about, positive thinking, not just worldly positive thinking, but setting your mind on that hope that we have. And I didn't think the test would come within like a day or two, but it did. I was like, wait a minute. I know what I'm supposed to do. So I was like, what if I climb this mountain and I feel better afterwards? Because normally when you're sick, climbing a mountain is
sick. Yeah, no.
I thought, what if I go up this mountain and I come back down and I'm not sick? And I just kind of started to set my mind on that. There were some other things not related to the sickness that I just started to think positively about too. So I was just, and wouldn't you know, I went up that mountain and I came back down and I felt great. I felt much better on the way down than I did on the way up. And it was, but I was this close to just getting up right away. Like, well, I don't feel it yet. I still feel sick.
The buzzards were disappointed. They
were disappointed. It would have been really easy for them to find
it. So do you guys have your own buzzards? Oh, my.
Yeah, see, the Lord said that to me today, too, because I hate colds, and I've now, what's the phrase? Dodged the bullet twice by just rebuking. And even when the symptoms continue, you just keep hammering away and eventually he'll go. So I'm talking to my son and I'm going to see my grandkids tomorrow, which I do every week. And he's saying to me, but they both have colds. So the buzzer goes off in my head. And the Lord said, well, what are you going to do about it? And so I'm thinking, well, I will just go there and I will chase him out of the room. And so that's, I'm gearing up. I'm getting my, loins girded.
No plague will come nigh your dwelling.
That's right. Yes.
My, the people that took the church over in Everett from us, I found out she had been in the hospital for gallstone, I think it was. Yeah, they took the gallbladder. And but in the meantime, she was in the hospital, and then he went and took her out, and he came down with the flu. So for the first time in I don't know how many years, neither one of them were at church on Sunday morning. So I felt like I needed to. I was going to go to the hospital, but I know her. And I also know that she likes to look nice, and that she didn't because she was in the hospital. So I said, well, I said to her daughter, why don't I just wait 2 days and then I'll come over, you know. So I went over and, she texted me and she said, you can come over. I'll let you use your discretion because Dad's got the flu, you know. And so I said, well,
you've had it.
Would you want me to come the next day? So then she texts me and she goes, you can come. He's upstairs. He's not coming downstairs. But it was so funny because when I got there, she goes, I had to watch him like a hawk. He would put his hands on the remote to turn the channel, and he didn't use gloves, and he didn't use sanitizer. Because I had to spray it like a bottle. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So, yes, we did pray.
Well, we did pray. They do help. we're not going to give it all to
I mean,
the
yeah, we can get cocky, but we can be confident. We can be confident that God is our healer and that we can walk in health. But we also need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because remember when Paul was told to leave the city? You know, he could have stood there and said, hunker down and say, God will protect me. God said he'd protect me. Well, God was telling him to leave the city. That was his protection. So we need to listen to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And I was able to pray with them. And he's great now. But somebody's got to go when they don't feel it. Who's going to lay in if everybody's afraid to go in there and see them? But you got to use your wisdom and listen to what God says. So,
can you put gloves on when you lay hands on?
I got to tell you, I was in a hospital room with somebody, and I could have got offended, but I knew what was happening there. We went to pray, and I went to hold her hand, and she went,
it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't. No, but I understand. There was a fear that if they got germs of any type, that they'd be kept in the hospital, and they did not want to be kept in the hospital. So you can't get offended at that. You know, they just want to be well and whole. Yeah. So, so go to 107, Psalm 107. Yeah, we got to finish up. These people were real sick. They were near death. Psalm 107, 19 and 20. 19 and 20. You know, like my son, he said, you know, well, I got myself into this. You know, why would he deliver me? Well, he's our deliverer. He's our deliverer.
Right.
So, but the devil will use that to keep you from trying to go to God because then you think, well, I have no grounds to stand on. Well, we do. We have the blood of Jesus. So Psalm 107, 19 and 20 says, then they cry to the Lord in their trouble and he delivers them out of their distresses. Again, he sends forth his word and heals them and rescues them from the pit and destruction. Oh, that men would praise. This is the third or fourth time. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and rehearse his deeds with shouts of joy and singing. So here, you know, sometimes we have to rise up and resist. Rise up and resist. His word is true. We praise him and we stand fast. Psalm 118, verse 17. Psalm 118, verse 17. If you want to hear the rest of this, you can come tomorrow morning because I'm going to finish it. Well, you can get the tape or the CD. Psalm 118, 17. This... I'm not staying tonight. My husband won't be sleeping and say about the buzzards. He'll just wonder where I am. I shall not die, but live, and shall declare the works and recount the illustrious acts of the Lord. We had a friend in ministry. His daughter was dying, and she had a disease. I can't remember what it was now because it's probably been 25 years. She was 17, and they used this verse, I shall not die, but live and declare the works and recount the illustrious acts of the Lord. When we had her to our church down here, she came and she sang praises to God because she was totally healed. But they stood on this word, I shall not die. And that's when he speaks into your ear and he says, you're going to die from this if you don't do something. Or if you need to wise up, you know. These are bad symptoms. And that's when you come back at him and say, I shall not die, but I'm going to live. And not, I'm not just going to live. I'm going to declare the works of the Lord to everyone around me so that you won't get any glory, devil, but God will get the glory. So does God get more glory if you perish mid-life? Or if you overcome and are able to give the glory to him.
If you overcome.
Yeah. Because if you die mid-term here, what happens is people rationalize and they go, God needed another flower in his garden. I hate that.
It's the attitude, well, they must have not had it right. Why even waste my time on it then?
Yep.
Right. I can outlive them if I just do my thing.
Right. There are many. God doesn't get the glory there, you know. Or he needed her in heaven more than he did down here. Well, we have a very short span down here. Compared to eternity, God puts us here to make a difference. And so I'm not coming down on anyone that did. My sister died midlife. In my eyes, she was stolen by the devil, and I'm determined never, ever to let that happen in our family again. But how much better to go your length of days and to overcome each and everything the devil tries to throw at you, because you're full of God, you're full of praise, and you know who your Redeemer is. So we will... I do have a couple more things, but I don't have time because we're going to try and be really good about getting out at 9. And but if you want to hear the rest of that, we'll just pick it up after I finish what we didn't finish last Wednesday morning. So I'll have some time there, so I'll fill it in with that. It goes right with it because we're talking about the glory or the move of the Spirit. So.